The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan in Richmond, Monumental Sports Network as well. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. We should remind people that in less than a week, the Junks will be doing the Altcast for the Washington Capitals game against the Buffalo Sabres this upcoming Saturday night.
Yep.
So, look, we love Joe B. and Locker, but if you want a little bit of a different take on a Caps game, we will certainly provide that for you during the Altcast. So that's this upcoming Saturday night. So be sure to tune in.
Yep,
and 7
o'clock.
Check it out.
Correct.
Do we know exactly what to expect? Not really.
We have no idea. We've never done it before.
We've never done it before, so we'll see how this works out. We'll see how this shakes out.
I'm not even sure how much hockey we'll talk.
It's a very good point.
I mean, we'll talk a little bit about the game.
Sure.
But it's not like we're going to be breaking down X's and O's.
If I had to put up a hockey talk pie for the Altcast, 15 to 20% would yeah. That'd be my initial guess.
I think that might be high.
I could be wrong. Right now, we're joined by Will Brinson from CBS Sports, cbssports.com. Good morning, Will. How are you?
What's up, guys? Sorry about that. I don't know why my phone does do not disturb. But
All good. All good.
I wish it would block other people's calls for me instead of y'all.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you get inundated with weird, like, phishing-like texts sent to your phone, or is that just me?
Yeah. Like, the one, I love the one that's like, hey, we tried to deliver a package to you. You should go to usps.xyz.biz.net. It's like, sure. Like, I can definitely see why old people fall for this.
I don't get that one. The one I get a lot, and I just block this number every time, is, hey, we're interested in your property, and they give an address that's an address I've never seen or heard of or never lived at. And then I'm like,
I get one for like, it's like, hey, are you still trying to sell that townhouse in New York? Yeah, sure. Like, wire me some money. Like, hit me up. They're like, Ethiopian king over here.
Hey, Will, we know you're an NFL senior writer, but we have to pick your brain about the huge news, Juan Soto landing in New York, but not with the Yankees. With the Mets, no deferred money, 15 years, $760+ million in his pocket. This is what happens when Scott Boras is your agent. You go to the highest bidder, and this is a gigantic contract that he's signing.
Yeah, insane contract. Look, so my buddy Zeke, who lives up in D.C., is a bit of a huge Nats fan, so I've gone to a bunch of Nats games. I had like their over win total when they won the World Series, and had some futures on them to win the World Series that year. Like, so I've always been a big Juan Soto fan. Mm-hmm. The Yankees thing, pretty gross, not really his fault. This is a vile betrayal of interdivisional cash flow. Like, I don't blame anybody if you go get $785 million or whatever it is, like, good for you. But like, I find the Mets to be like this, like when the Yankees do this, it's at least it's gross, right? They go out and spend all the money, get all the best players. When the Dodgers do it, same sort of thing. The Mets doing it feels like a redheaded stepchild version of that because you know they're going to screw it up somehow. But like I can't stand, like, I don't know, like, just like the Mets have just, but they've like moved themselves into that same territory thanks to Steve Cohen and all that cash, where it's like, yeah, it's not fun or likable, and the Mets never were fun or likable to begin with. So yeah, it's pretty foul, and I don't like seeing it.
Yeah, you make good points there. all right, so let's get to the NFL and get your reaction to games this past week. Had a ton of teams on bye. Still have one more game tonight, but kind of your thoughts on the way the Rams have kind of jumped back into this.
Yeah.
After getting, you know, they had two serious injuries with Puka and with Kupp. Now they got those guys back. They had a total of, I think they had a total of like 18 or 19 catches last night. So Stafford, when he's got those two guys, man, their offense can roll, and they obviously beat a really good team. So kind of get your thought on the Rams jumping back into this, because now, you know, they're not just fighting for a wild card. They're a game back of the Seattle Seahawks. They've already beaten Seattle, and they play them one more time in Week 18. So they could be an NFC West division winner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you look at that division, and it's – I mean, you don't want to say San Francisco's out of it because they're not. But, I mean, you know, they're just so banged up. And, like, you know, now their third-string running back is dealing with a foot sprain as well. To me, the Rams are the quintessential – you don't want to see him in the playoffs team, right?
Right.
And they've sort of been that way for the last few years, you know, whether it's the Super Bowl run, that, you know, the or, and even like last year, I thought, you know, they just ran into a great Lions team, and I thought that they could have made some noise. Stafford, and I've been banging this drum longer than anybody, I think, but I mean, Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer in my book, and it's not particularly close. I think his ability, when he's got all those guys out there, the offensive line is starting to cook a little bit here. It's gotten healthier. Like, they're just getting healthy at the right time. Puka is playing awesome. You know, Cooper Kupp was on the trade block like, you know, 4 weeks ago, and you can't imagine them dealing him now. Blake Corum, they're starting to really kind of shift how much they use Corum versus Kyren Williams. One, I think, to, you know, to keep Kyren healthy and to keep him fresh, but also because Corum's, they brought him along really nicely as a rookie. And then defensively, they've got a lot of really good young pieces who are stepping up. You know, they can get pressure on you. And you see them, they go toe-to-toe with the Bills in the highest scoring game of the season. And it just shows you that on, like, any, you know, when Stafford's protected and he's got those guys out there, he can cook as hot and as well as anybody in the league at the position. You know, like, I just feel like the Rams' ceiling, particularly if they win the division and they get, you know, like, I think when you look at the NFC, you know, the AFC is probably going to be the Chiefs and the Bills in the title game. I mean, it just feels inevitable. In the NFC, it feels like Lions and Eagles, unless one of two teams, or more specifically, one of two quarterbacks, Matthew Stafford or Jordan Love, really disrupt those playoff brackets by just getting nuclear hot. And I think that's got to be the scariest thing in the world if you're, you know, Philly or Detroit. Is like, a quarterback like that can get in the playoffs and just like flip a switch and just go nuclear. And I think that's where the Rams should scare people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Will, I do not have a vote for NFL Coach of the Year, nor should I. But if I did,
neither should Pete Prisco, but here we are.
But if I did, I know who I'm voting for. It's a lock. I'm voting for this guy. Do you want to take a guess?
Okay. I know who it is. He's a young, well, young stud, young offensive mind, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Kevin O'Connell.
I mean, that guy has taken Sam Darnold, and he's turned him into a quarterback who's going to throw mid 30s in touchdowns.
He's turned him into an all pro.
And they have 11 wins. Yeah. He gets my vote. Now, on the other side, we saw this in the game yesterday. What has happened to Kirk Cousins? I used to be I'm a Kirk Cousins card carrying member, flag waver. Like, I've been behind
him forever. He loves Cousins.
But it's hard to keep backing him with some of these outings in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so they've won one game since Halloween. It was that game against Dallas where Cousins had three touchdowns and no picks. Since then, four games, no touchdown, no passing touchdowns, eight interceptions, and they're 0-4. Now, I was looking at it this morning, actually. They've got a tiebreaker over the Bucks because they swept the season matchup, and the Falcons' schedule to close out is super easy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they have the Commanders, I think, right? Commanders, yep. Giants, Panthers, and Raiders.
Yes.
So, like, that's I mean, you could see, like Bijan Robinson could just have a great stretch and carry them if Cousins just doesn't make any mistakes. The Bucs have a similar schedule, but they have the Chargers as well. So, Atlanta, I mean, it's just the issue here for Cousins is, like, you know, we're getting reports that, you know, or people are clamoring, like, should they go to Michael Penix? And you're having to, like, leak out reports, like, we're not benching Cousins. And I get it. I mean, I think Atlanta probably knows better than anyone else what they have, you know, in Michael Penix and whether it would actually work to go to him. And, you know, Cousins, you're high-priced free agent. You are, you know, you're 6-7, but you're still very much in that wild card mix and, of course, the NFC South. The issue is, like, it's just become such a – like, there's no margin for error because the Buccaneers' schedule is so easy, and because you have the NFC North, and the NFC West, which looks like it's going to put in at minimum, I mean, four teams, right? The winner of the NFC West, and then, you know, probably three teams from the NFC North, just because they've got so many wins. So it's like, Atlanta, the problem is the last 4 weeks, they just put themselves in this position because Cousins has played so bad that any sort of slip up down the stretch and they're going to find themselves on the outside looking in. As far as O'Connell goes, I mean, I wrote about this last week. Like, I'm okay with like eight different guys winning Coach of the Year. It's a fascinating race. I mean, Dan Campbell would absolutely deserve a vote for having the Lions as the best team in football. Mike Tomlin's got these voodoo magic working with the Steelers, and Russell Wilson, they're 10-3. You know,
how about Andy Reid, 12-1, and he's had a billion injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about the Chiefs is, like, I mean, it's like you go through the list of, like, they've won 10 one-score games.
Yeah, I know.
That is wild.
They get it done, They get it done.
The Chiefs look exactly like the Patriots during their dynasty run, where like some years they just didn't have it, but they still, you know, would keep it close. And then you get the ball to Brady at the end. Belichick, you know, outcoaches the other team. You find a way to win. You get to the playoffs. You get the first round bye, and you just get hot for like 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like freaking Thanos. They're inevitable, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Andy Reid deserves consideration, but I mean, Matt LaFleur, who's, you know, third place in the NFC North, lost Jordan Love for a few weeks, won games with Malik Willis. There's a bunch of people, a bunch of guys around the league who are doing a great job coaching. I think it kind of, Sean Payton?
Sean Payton.
Jim Harbaugh? Like, there's tons of names out there.
All right,
McConnell's a good one.
Washington has four games left. They got to play the Saints, who are going to be on a backup quarterback because Carr broke his hand. They've got the Eagles one more time. They've got Dallas one more time. And they've got Atlanta at home, which would be huge for head-to-head tiebreaker. What do you think Washington needs to do in the final four? Do you think 2-2 gets them in? Or do you think they have to get to that 11-win mark?
Oh, God, man. The playoffs are so tough this year. It's crazy, right? Like, mm-hmm. You feel like it's just a top-heavy league right now. And the problem is, you know, as I mentioned, you've got Tampa Bay with an easy schedule, Atlanta with an easy schedule. Dallas is playing actually decent football right now. Philly's not going to sit their guys. I think if you beat Atlanta 2-2, could get it done, but it's going to be close. And I do worry. I'm very curious to see how Washington looks coming out of the bye on offense, just because, you know, we had this history of Cliff Kingsbury's offenses in the second half of the season with Arizona. I mean, it's just a fact at this point, right? And we've seen it the last few weeks with the Commanders before the bye, where you're sort of wondering, is that second half swoon starting to take place? If you want to guarantee you're in, obviously go win three games.
Right.
Ten wins and out of the playoffs would be such a tough beat.
If you're
the Commanders, I mean, you feel really good about where you were. You'd just be like flabbergasted by not making it. So I'll say 3-1. I think 2-2 possible, but the NFC South, those teams just have such easy schedules. Even if the NFC North kind of beats each other up.
Hey, before we let you go, just you're down there in ACC country. I wanted to flip it to the college football playoff bracket.
I was going to ask about Belichick.
Well, you can give me your thoughts on that, too, and how serious Carolina is. You can throw that in there. But your thoughts on, you know, there was only one real controversial play, and that was SMU getting in over Bama. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, Bama had a chance to get in and just blew it. Like, don't lose Oklahoma.
Right.
Don't lose to Vanderbilt. You know, I mean, like, you know, just don't, you can't lose. Like, Nick Saban doesn't lose those games, and he's in the playoffs. I think Bama's just not as scary, and I would have been pretty miffed. You know, I think SMU, like, the idea that SMU was guaranteed to be in the playoff if they said, we forfeit the ACC championship game, we're just not playing. And if they've been left out because they played a really close game against a Clemson team that's kind of getting hot at the right time and has, you know, Dabo and some really good skill position guys, you know, like that to me would have just been wrong, where, you know, you reward Bama for not winning enough games to make the conference championship. I think they got to, you know, they did the right thing, but they do need to tweak some stuff in the playoff, particularly the giving byes to the top four conference champions. Like, what?
I think they will.
They have a bye. Yeah. That's great.
I think they're going to. I think next year they'll reseed, and then the top four, whether they're conference champions or not, will get the byes. It's the way I think.
Yeah, but I think I'll say. I mean, like, I'm pumped for these games. Though. Like, you get four home playoff games.
I know. I'm actually thinking I'm actually thinking about going to the Penn State SMU game.
You should. I'm an SMU fan. I got friends who live in Dallas, so I go. I went to the SMU BC game. It's a cool environment. They actually set up the tailgate like Ole Miss does, where it's like in the middle of campus.
Right.
Decent, so decent scenery.
Now I'm not going to pay for tickets. If I have to pay for tickets, I'm not going.
Well, neither would Will, because SMU guys probably rich. Rich friends.
Oh, yeah. I'm out of my bracket when I'm out in Dallas at the SMU game.
I was kind of hoping Bama would get in, because not that I think Bama deserves it, but I think Bama Penn State at Penn State would have been unbelievable atmosphere.
I think they would have found a way to have Bama at Notre Dame.
Well, maybe you might be right. Yeah.
Will, yeah. Thanks as always for the time,
right,
man.
Bro.
We'll talk to you again soon. Right. Have a great holiday season. Great Christmas, man.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. See you guys.
Yep. That's Will Brinson at Will Brinson on Twitter, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. We'll do Cakes' entertainment page when we come back. Time now.
Hey, it's Mark Schler with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The entertainment page. I'm doing it because EB is probably getting his mouth drilled into right now. He's having another root canal. I mean, I just don't know how many that is for him.
He has one a week, it seems like.
Best of luck to him. The EP is brought to you by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW of Fairfax. Ask for EB's girl, Miriam, the general manager, or check them out at BMWofairfax.com.
Dot com.
Bad news for Jay-Z. Jay-Z denies allegations he sexually assaulted a 13-year-old in 2000 with Sean Diddy Combs. A woman who alleges she was sexually assaulted by Diddy has amended her lawsuit to include allegations she was also assaulted by Jay-Z at the same party.
Wow.
The lawsuit was initially filed against Combs in October, but on Sunday, the woman added Sean Carter, the rapper and businessman known as Jay-Z, as a defendant in the civil lawsuit. He's the first celebrity to be accused of sexual assault in connection to Combs.
I mean, this was 24 years ago. So this woman's almost 40. I wonder why she excluded him in the first place.
Don't know that. But in a statement addressed to CNN, Carter called the allegations, quote, so heinous in nature that I implore you to file a criminal complaint, not a civil one. Whomever would commit such a crime against a minor should be locked away. Would you not agree?
Drabby, his name comes up a lot when these stories come out about Diddy. I'm hearing Jay-Z's name come out a lot.
Yeah.
Not sure what he's done, if he's done anything, but his name's out there attached to Diddy.
Yeah, you don't want to be mentioned in the same breath as Diddy.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, they used to hang out a lot back in the day, and Jay-Z's been at a lot of those parties. But again, you hate to make those accusations against somebody without a lot of proof. I mean,
yeah,
right now. But did you see that Tony Busby is the one leading this case.
Oh, he is.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. And Tony Busby.
Hold on, we had him on the show.
Tony
right?
Busby was on the show. He was representing the women on the Brandon McManus
That's
fight.
Right. That's right.
He's done some massive big
he's
cases over
big
the
times,
years.
Yeah. So he's involved. He's defending this woman.
Yep. This anonymous woman.
Mm. Man, 24 years, though. Oh, speaking of bad people, they still have not caught the shooter in New York. And apparently, you know, we didn't know what was going on.
Right.
We thought maybe he was just kind of hanging out in New York. He mm-hmm. changed outfits and then he's going, you know, checked into some another hostel or something.
Right.
But he went right to the Port Authority mm-hmm. and jumped on a bus and went south. Who knows if he went back to Atlanta, because apparently that's where he first came from. So he could be anywhere. Now, maybe the authorities know a lot more than they're telling the media, but he got on a bus probably, I don't know, 45 minutes after he shot Thompson and went south. So
I should have bet that he wouldn't get caught. I had a vibe he was going to slink out and not get caught over the weekend, but I wasn't willing to bet on it.
I thought there was so much information out there, and if he was still in New York, someone was going to spot him, but
yeah.
he didn't spend any time in New York. He went right on a bus and went south. So he could be anywhere.
Doesn't this guy have any friends? How can nobody recognize him with that taxi cab photo that came out?
I know.
It's in 4K. Well, busted in 4K. How do they not know him?
That's incredible that they got that photo. But not just that one. The one where he's smiling in the hostel when the woman said, pull your mask down. Yeah, I need to see you.
He's risen up a girl.
Yeah. I mean, someone's got to know who that guy is. Unless he's just a loner and no one knows him.
But right? even loners have parents and aunts and uncles
right.
and
yeah,
people that know them, that can identify them.
I'm just wondering if they know who he is, but they just don't want to tell the media yet because they don't want
can
him to think
Can somebody just rat
that.
Him out, please? Can somebody just...
They've got to have some information.
Have they upped the reward? Is the reward still at a paltry $10K?
No, the $50,000 that was added to it. So I think it's $60,000.
Okay.
But it should be... United Healthcare should put up about $2
million. I agree.
Yeah.
Sweeten the pot.
But, man, he's no longer in New York. He went south somewhere.
Bailed.
He could be anywhere in the country.
Yeah.
And did you hear in his bag he had Monopoly money?
I did yeah. hear that.
What the hell?
He's just trolling. Weird. He's trolling yeah.
Something
people.
Weird's going on.
Oh, I agree. It's very weird.
It's just not making a lot. Like, he's too, like, how is he not caught? How does nobody know who he is?
How's
like,
he such a mastermind?
So, it's a master. It might be a mastermind.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, will somebody put him up to this?
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Like, is he even from this country?
No idea.
How would I know anything about this
and
person?
And we won't know until they catch him. And they will catch him. Might take a little bit longer than we thought.
When?
I don't know. I mean,
now
they're
I
on
like
it. He's the most wanted man in the country.
Now we have to place a wager on it.
He's the most wanted man in the country,
if
man.
If he's European or from the Middle East or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they don't know who he is. And they have no fingerprints on him. They don't have any ID scans on him.
You might be right.
I will make a $2 wager that he is not caught by this time next week.
I'm not making that wager because
no?
since he's out of the city, they don't know where
I
he
mean,
is.
I'm the ultimate mush. Somebody should take the other side.
We don't need to know where he is. We need to know his name.
Yeah,
I know.
Didn't he have to use a credit card for the city bike?
Could have been stolen.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
I guarantee he had a fake ID when he checked into the hostel.
He did. They said that.
Yeah. So he could have fake everything.
Maybe he paid with Monopoly money.
Right, maybe he did. Maybe the hostel said, we'll take anything.
If you hand over Monopoly money to anybody in 2024 and they can't ID it as fake currency, then what are we doing here?
He's buying Baltic Avenue.
But Matt, remember over the weekend... The report was...
Purple card, terrible.
The report was they were narrowing his identity down. They were coming close to identifying him. That was the report. And we didn't hear anything after that. I think that was on Saturday morning.
They need to blast his name out there.
Well, I think eventually they will.
They have to have his name.
Once they find out what his actual name is, I'm sure they will.
Eventually they will, yeah.
Maybe he fled to Vancouver to catch the final Taylor Swift Eras Tour appearance. Maybe that's where he went, Valdez. That's the next story on the EP. So Taylor Swift wraps up her Eras Tour in Vancouver. 2 years, almost 2 years of touring, 149 shows over five continents, grossed $2 billion. It wasn't JP basically saying, she's going to tour next year. What is he talking
about?
Yeah,
he did say that.
No, she's finishing the Eras Tour. She's going to take an extended break. She's going to go write a new catalog of hits and probably tour in 3 or 4 years and make $5 billion when she comes back and tours in like the late 2020s. I would assume made almost $2 billion on the Eras tour. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good take home.
Wrapped up just in time to watch Travis.
To watch Travis's playoff run. Yeah. That's right. 12-1. She can go to the playoff games at Arrowhead. It's a pretty good life.
Get married on the field.
Well, we don't know if that's going to happen or not. We'll see. The Golden Globe nominations are out. Here are your nominees for Best Motion Picture.
Okay. How many?
Jason, I want to see how many of these movies you've seen.
Okay.
The Brutalist. I know you haven't seen that.
Nope.
I don't even know who's in. I think Adrian Brody stars in The Brutalist. I couldn't tell
Sounds
you
intriguing.
One thing about it other than Adrian Brody is in it.
Let me look up The Brutalist.
Yeah, give me the plot synopsis.
I've never heard of The Brutalist, but the plot synopsis.
Yes. What's it about? What am I missing out on?
Well, this is part one. I guess there's I don't know how many there are. How many parts there are. Maybe there's just two. Hungarian Jewish architect Lazio Toth, forcibly separated from his wife Elizabeth and his niece in Budapest during World War II and having survived the Holocaust.
He manages
to emigrate to America. He travels to Philly, where his immigrant cousin and his American wife allow him to stay with them.
He loves Saquon.
He looks for jobs.
He loves what Saquon's done for the Eagles.
So it doesn't look too appetizing.
Big tush push guy.
Yeah. All right, Brutalist, no. Okay.
Next one.
Brutalist is what my fantasy team did.
Yeah, that's correct. The next nominee is called A Complete Unknown. Again, don't know anything about that. I know Jason hasn't seen it.
That is correct.
The next movie, one of us has seen. And I believe it's one Matt Cahill.
The Complete Unknown is the Bob Dylan movie.
Ah, okay, with Timothée Chalamet.
Timothée Chalamet, who was giving expert picks on game day this weekend.
Yeah, I heard he had like good college football knowledge.
Apparently he's a big college football fan.
Big college football nerd. Good for him. Conclave on this list. This is the movie that Drab has seen.
He's Conclave.
Seen Conclave.
What's this list again?
This is Best Motion Picture Drama category at the Golden Globes.
You know, that might win. That was an incredible movie.
Ooh, who's in it?
Incredible's a bit of a stretch.
Ralph Fiennes.
Fiennes. Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci's pretty good. Stanley Tucci, very creepy in the movie where he kills the girl Susie Salmon. Lovely Bones. He's a big time creep in that movie.
So you liked Conclave?
I did, but I also like, you know, the inner workings of the Catholic Church. And
right.
Probably no one else.
I don't like that.
Nobody else.
I'll take a pass on that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was good.
The next movie on this list, my youngest son really likes this series, and I just cannot get into it for the life of me.
Okay.
Dune Part 2. Another apparently Timothée Chalamet just completely owning this category
because
he's in both A Complete Unknown and Dune Part 2.
All right. And I have not seen that.
The next movie is Nickel Boys. Again, I don't know anything about that.
Nickelback? You sure it's not Nickelback?
It's not about a Canadian rock band. I'd be much more likely to see that than I would Nickel Boys.
Nickel Boys. Historical drama based on the 2019 novel The Nickel Boys by Colson Whitehead.
I'm going to give that. I'm going to give that an X.
Yeah, it doesn't look too appetizing.
And the final in both Best Motion Picture Drama is September 5th. I don't know what that is. So I have very little to no interest in all of those dramatic movies. Maybe The Conclave definitely lasted like 20 minutes with Dune Part 2, turned it off. Just not my thing.
I think your girl Nikki Glaser is hosting the Golden Globes.
Oh, she is?
I think so.
Yeah, she is. That's correct. She's probably going to get a little raunchy, roast some people. It's kind of
very
thing.
Raunchy.
Yeah, she does do that bit. All right, at the box office this weekend, Moana 2 cruises to another record weekend, is made now $600 million globally.
Moana 2?
Moana 2, animated fare from Disney.
Okay, I'm out.
Second place at the box office, occupied by Wicked. That added another $35 million. That's its domestic total now is at $320 million over 3 weeks.
They're just killing it. There's a Wicked 2 coming out, right? Isn't the second part of it coming out?
I think you're correct, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think there's a second part coming out. I don't know, I guess maybe next year.
Yeah.
Maybe next summer.
Gladiator followed in third with $12.5 million.
Not worth seeing, Matt? Gladiator 2?
I liked it.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. It's fine.
It's pretty good. You'd give it it's a just, pretty good.
Yeah. Very violent.
Well, I'll take that.
I did hear it's much more violent than Gladiator.
Right.
But it's basically the same movie.
Same, right.
Mm-hmm.
And Denzel's silly in it.
Well, I mean, Denzel might be the push that you need to go see it. If he's that good, like...
He's really good?
Yeah.
He's very good. He steals the movie.
Final story on the EP today. Former Junks guest. This is from TMZ. Bill Romanowski. I'm feeling great in spite of... How many documented concussions?
Documented?
Jason, documented concussions. Bill Romanowski told TMZ Sports, despite the repeated head trauma he suffered during his NFL career, he's still feeling great, although he admits he has to work at it daily. He played linebacker for four different teams from 1988 to 2003, and he revealed to TMZ he ended up with this many documented concussions in that time frame.
It's got to be triple digits.
No, not.
It's not?
Triple digits?
He's definitely had over 100 concussions in his career. Well,
he says he's had 20 documented concussions.
Oh, well, he's forgotten about 80 of them.
I mean, if he's had 100 documented concussions, I don't see how you could
Hold
still
on, you
be...
think Bill Romanowski's only had 20 concussions in his career?
I mean, doesn't 20 that are documented sound like a lot? I feel like that's a
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, but when they were back then when he was playing, they probably got him on every play, and they just kept playing.
I saw the 20 number and I thought that was high, and then you just re-raised me with triple digits.
I guarantee you he's maybe not documented, but right. He's had more than 20 concussions.
And look, he's still, you know, can carry on a conversation. He's lucid, so good for him. But it sounds like it's a daily struggle. He takes, quote, a million supplements every day. Just a little bit less than EB takes. And it's not helping his teeth because he's undergoing a root canal now.
Tell Bill to chew on some garlic.
Yeah.
he played for 15, 16 years?
Yeah, he played from 88 to 2003.
Right, and you're going to tell me he only had one per year? Come on.
I don't know.
Yeah,
don't
you got to use your brain on that one.
I don't know if I believe that guy or not.
And he doesn't have much of a brain yet.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the caps on a heater. Here on The Fan. You can head to @JunksRadio on Twitter. Vote on the Junkies poll of the day. Presented by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, loved throughout the DMV. Will the Mets ultimately regret the massive 15-year, $765 million deal that they gave Juan Soto? Right now, the voting is 69% yes, 30% no. So most of the people think that the Mets will regret that big signing. You can go vote on that poll right now.
Let's talk about a hot team.
They're super hot. The Washington Capitals.
They are en fuego.
They went to Canada.
Don't lose.
Went to Canada, to Toronto and Montreal.
Yep.
And said, we're going to outscore you guys. I believe it was 7-3 in the two games. Just take care of business. Just a casual Friday, Saturday double dip in Canada. Now they get 4 days of rest before they go back on the road to take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, I mean, the big story coming out of the Montreal game was Willie's face. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Willie's
read about that.
Face got pwned in that game. So he was skating
right
across,
in the mouth.
Well, he was skating across the crease, and Jacob Chychrun fired a wrist shot on net, and it caught Willie in his left cheek, below the visor. So he immediately skates over to the bench. You know, he's kind of doubled over in pain. Lets the trainer take a look at it. Goes down the hallway to the training room, and then he comes back.
That's incredible.
Classic hockey tough guy. He comes back a little bit later. Scores not one, two goals to lead the Caps to a comeback win. Now, by the time the end of the game hit, his face was really swollen. Like when it happened, it wasn't bad. When he came back in, you could see a cut on his cheek, but his face hadn't gotten all swollen yet.
Right.
But by the end of the game, I mean, the left side of his face was 2.5 times bigger than it was before the game started.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a huge, huge lump on his face.
And can you imagine what it looked like the next morning?
Oh, and how bad it hurt?
I mean, I'm sure he had ice on it.
How bad it hurt?
Oh, yeah.
You know how much that would sting to get, like, Chicky's got a pretty hard shot. And that thing hits you on your cheekbone, right, like, while you're playing in the game. I mean, the toughness that these guys show night in and night out. I know we always talk about how tough hockey guys are, but, I mean, Willie was the personification of that over the weekend. And, by the way, it's been a bad run for Caps players of late, like, facial-wise. Like, Doubter had his nose broken, like, I want to say that was about 2.5-3 weeks ago.
Right.
We just had Coach Carbs on a couple of days ago. Dylan Strome took back-to-back high sticks to his mouth, had to get some dental work done. And then this latest incident with Willie. But it's not slowing them down. They're 19-6-2.
They've won 9 of 12. They still lead the league in goals scored with 109. Mm-hmm. They're up 3, I think, on the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
But they're 19-6-2, 40 points. I think there's two other teams in the NHL have got 40 points. Minnesota and Winnipeg. So, I mean, even though there's still a ton of games left, mm-hmm, almost 60, you know, call it 55, they got to be considered right now as a legitimate Stanley Cup contender.
I would think so.
When you're 27 games in and you're playing the way you are.
Yeah, this is no...
It's not a fluke.
Doing, yeah, it's certainly not a fluke. And they're doing this with Ovi sideline.
It's one thing if you did
it 2+ weeks.
10 games in.
Yeah.
But now you're playing almost 30 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got to be considered, you know, along with teams like Florida and Winnipeg and
right,
Vegas, a legit contender. It's an unbelievable job that Carbs has done. I know BMAC has to get some props, too, for adding some of those pieces, the free agents. But unbelievable job that Carbs has done.
Jason, I just hope that you're going to, at some point, send me some bullet points of what to talk about during the Altcast when it comes to the Buffalo Sabres. Because I know that you follow them on a daily basis, the ins and outs of the Caps opponent. When we're doing the Altcast Saturday night on Monumental Sports, Caps Sabres.
The only thing I'm going to say about the Buffalo Sabres,
yes,
is Buffalo Sabres. It's the only thing I'm going to say. Because I have no idea. I barely know where Buffalo is. Alex Tucci or Tuich is their leading scorer. He's got 24 points.
I think it's Tuck, but I could be wrong.
You know what? I got bad vision.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's Tuck.
I added an I. But you know what? Please call him Tuich or
Tucci. That's why during the Altcast I will.
Please call him that on Saturday night.
Because we were talking about Stanley Tucci. I think
that's
related.
That's correct. That probably got into your brain.
Yeah. So Alex Tucci. He's going to lose on Saturday night.
Have you figured out your wardrobe for the Altcast yet?
I'm just going to wear probably Verona again.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to wear Caps gear.
Yeah.
So Caps gear and a Caps beanie, unless I'm told otherwise.
Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wear a sweater. And I've got the Ovi one, but I'm probably just going to wear the Verona.
Perfect.
Verona's still on the team, isn't he?
He's still on the good team. Yes. Second go around with the Capitals.
But yeah, I mean, the Caps are just, man, they are just playing so well, and they got a nice little break because they played back-to-back nights up in Canada, won those two games. Now they get, what, 4 days off?
4 days until they take on Columbus on the road.
They play Columbus. Columbus isn't that good, are they?
I have to look at the standings, see where they are in the Metro right now.
See, are they in the Metro? They're dead last, aren't they?
Last in the Metro at 27 points.
All right, now look, Washington just lost to a bad team. All right, they lost to San Jose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible.
Overtime loss, they got a point.
All right, got a point. So they could lose to Columbus, but they're not going to take them lightly. It's a division game. So you got to, plus they're coming off, you know, a nice little break. They're not going to play for 3 or 4 days. You got to like their chances against Columbus.
Caps are sitting at first in the Metro, 40 points with just 27 games played. The Jersey Devils trail them by 2 points. They played 3 more games, which you'd love to see. And the Caps should be getting Ovi back within a matter of a couple weeks.
Yeah, because he's skating around.
He was skating as of a few days
ago. Not practicing,
but skating.
He's skating around. Man, it's just an incredible job they're doing. You know? Because no one expected this.
Nobody expected it. And I'll be honest, when I heard the plan about platooning goalies with Lindgren and Logan Thompson, my first reaction was, but it's worked out.
It has.
They're both playing remarkably well.
I mean, Carbs.
And they're scoring a ton of goals.
Carbs didn't even expect this. He thought they would be better, but there's no way he thought they would be the best goal-scoring team in the league.
Well, he didn't think that they'd be averaging 4 goals per game.
Yeah.
After coming off a season where they were scoring like 2.4 goals per game.
And I just don't think that's going to stop. Whatever system they're running,
yeah,
it's working.
And
you'll have injuries, like, mm-hmm. you know, you got guys getting hit in the face, and
yep.
Ovi's going to be down, but mm-hmm. they're just going to. This system is working. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're doing to score goals is working.
And the development of the younger players,
it'll continue.
Protas and McMichael. I mean, McMichael's killing it this year, and he's like 22 or 23 years old, so he's got a bright future ahead of him. Probably going to have a 50-point campaign. All right, we got to get out of here. We will see you again tomorrow. We'll give you an update on EB's latest root canal and more. We're the Junks. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley up next here on The Fan.